just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. You better just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. You better just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned.
Well, good morning, Remnant, and welcome to the LaPorte Church of Christ. Here it is, June 1st, 2025. Can you believe it? But we welcome you here and thank the good Lord above. The sun rose this morning, just as it set yesterday, and we are glad to be here. Hope you're having a good end of spring. Hey, it's almost summertime, not quite. We hope you're prayed up. We certainly start out here. We continue to start out with the pistol prayer because, again, we see it coming true, and I think it's right up there with praying on the full armor of God and praying the Lord's Prayer. It's an appeal to heaven. It really is. And just as there's been times in our history that we really needed to do that, to buckle down and pray and cry out to God, I think today is one of those days as well. I hope you'll join us. Lord Jesus, we pray with thy authority, we say, DC sorcery cease, satanic strongholds release, Baals be broken and bound, with all idols be cast down, stop the spells, send the spellcasters into hell. Jesus, cause it to be, and thank you for the victory. Well, I'd like to start out in Exodus 15 this morning, verse 26. Exodus 15, 26 tells us, and reading in the Word, it says, saying, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do, that's the important part, and do what is right in his eyes and pay attention to his commands and keep all his statutes, then I will not bring on you any of the diseases I inflicted on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. And this is the instructions that he gives. He says, hey, listen, you saw what happened in Egypt. You saw the plagues that came. And if you will listen, it says, and do and pay attention and keep his statutes. Do these things. In the New Testament, we read about being a doer of the word and not a listener, not a hearer only. And God says, if you'll do these things, I won't bring these plagues on you. Well, see, the opposite is true as well, because we haven't done these things in this land, and so I think that we are seeing these diseases back upon us. I saw some headlines this week. I thought it was just going to, sometimes, you know, the media will throw something out, kind of see what sticks, but it seems like this bird flu is back. More bird flu. I saw several different reports this week. And I wanted to share this picture here. You can see it if you're watching. And it's just one of the massive bird farms that are out there and the conditions that they're in. I hope you have found some locals to get your chickens and your eggs from, so you don't have to participate in this. Okay? I hope that you have. And if you haven't, well, start looking. There's places. I know driving right here through LaPorte, where this, and we're just out in the country, but there's several places. Eggs, $4 a dozen. Eggs, $5 a dozen. Self-serve, that type thing. And if you care about your food, and you should, you know, I think that's part of love your neighbors yourself, is supporting the local economy and doing that, so you don't have to rely on these massive chicken farms for your food. Okay, let's take a look. The largest egg producer in the Southwest partially shut down. Bird flu has wiped nearly all of Hickman's Family Farms chickens in Arizona, forcing the Southwest's largest egg producer to cut staff and to begin rebuilding its flock, a process expected to take about 2 years. 2 years. Yeah, it showed up. You know, oh, we've heard about it in Florida, and we've heard about it in Nebraska, and it's all over. At least it's getting reported that way. It is. Saw this note. Bird flu across the U.S. has impacted around 173 million poultry. They're saying 13,000 wild birds and over 1,000 dairy herds, according to the CDC. 70 reported human cases, including one death. The CDC, however, maintains the public health risk is low. And, yeah, I'd have to agree with them on that. And we've seen in the headlines, you know, this has been an ongoing thing. We've seen in the headlines, a California producer had to put down 1 million chickens. And we see that time and time again. And all these things have an impact. They do. They have an impact. But you see that most of these that are occurring in these large, these huge chicken and egg factories. So, you can't say that God hasn't warned us. You can't say that he hasn't put these things in our face time after time. It didn't all happen overnight, but time after time after time. Hickman's Family Farms has several bird operations across Arizona, as well as smaller ones in Colorado. The farm founded in 1944. So these people have been at it for a little while. They're not new. Largest egg company in the Southwest, and the top 20 in the country. It says, despite efforts to contain the outbreak, it spread to all of the farm's West Side facilities, ultimately wiping out 95% of its chicken population, around 6 million chickens. Now, that makes an impact. It does. The farm's ordered baby chicks expects to house its first new hens in about 5 months, with full repopulation projected to take around 2 years. So just as these things have not happened overnight, it reminds me of, you know, when you read through the Old Testament, when you read through the Bible, the things that happened didn't happen. Well, sometimes they did happen overnight, but usually they took a while. Things were happening, whether it was invasions or even the plagues. Those were spread out over a period of time, those plagues of Egypt that we talked about earlier. And so it is that way today. We've been warning of the literal attacks on the U.S. food supply. And you see it everywhere you look. We continue to see it on the chickens and the eggs. And I think that that's one of the reasons that happens is that chickens and eggs are some of the easiest things to raise, and eggs are some of the best protein that you can get. And it's under attack. We've seen it on the American beef producer with massive imports and diseases that are coming back into this country. We've seen it for the last, two generations on the American farm. Going back all the way to the 1980s and the all but destruction of the American family farm. And it just continues on. So what are we to do? These are the times that we live in. These are the days, you might say. Well, let's look at a couple scriptures. I put a couple together that came to my mind because we are told not to fear. And that's not the purpose of this, of bringing this out. I think it's the reasoning for the enemy to do these things. But we're not to fear. Let's take a look. Couple of verses in Psalms. Psalms 128, 1 and 2 says, blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Who gets to eat the fruit of your labor? Who gets blessings and prosperity? Well, according to the word, it's those who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. Now, I don't know. I don't know what other people do. We try to hold to this. We certainly look at the scripture and say, you know, there's a good, when we talk with our children, when we talk with our friends and neighbors, it's like, you know, This is truth. This is the reasoning, the foundation for why these things are happening. Because what do we see? Just like we read earlier from Exodus, we don't have a large fear of the Lord in the land. We don't have obedience to him. So what do we have? We don't see, we're not able to eat the fruit of our labor as a nation. The blessings and the prosperity, well, they're not where they should be. I think it talks about that, and it reminds me of that distinction, that line between those that are trying, don't have to be perfect, none of us are, but those that are trying to follow this commandment, to follow these instructions, and those that, as Romans 1 talks about, that don't even acknowledge God. And so there, that distinction is there. We have to remember that. Just as when those plagues came to Egypt, when darkness came over the land of Egypt, hey, there was light over there in the land of Goshen. Remember we read that? There was light over there where his people were. We have to remember that. Let's continue on. Another verse here in Psalm 37:25 says, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So talk about another positive encouragement. You want to make sure that your children aren't going to be beggars? Well, you better seek his righteousness. And that's what we do. Again, there's that distinction. And that whether it's a separation or whatever, it seems like it's getting wider and wider and more prominent in the land. Those that are trying, that are seeking his righteousness and forsaking the world. I think it's good news that we're seeing some of these, at least the physical problems, the physical causes, a lot of them anyway, to many of the health issues in our land today. Okay, we'll talk about some of the physical things, and then we'll look at a couple of the spiritual as well. But I saw this just this week, and I thought, you know, this is a good report that's out because it is, you know, we're having this big Make America Healthy Again and move, and I think it's a step in the right direction. Again, it takes time. We're so far away from where we should be as a nation that it's going to take time to get back to it. So let me read you some of the highlights from this report I saw. I thought it was pretty interesting. So it talked, and it's nothing new for us. It's not. But it talks about switching from butter, lard, and tallow to seed oils like soybean, corn, and canola oils drastically increased omega-6 consumption, fueling inflammation and metabolic dysfunction. And that's a big term these days, metabolic dysfunction. And basically it means that your body's not working the way it should. The gut is not working the way it should. You're not processing and absorbing the foods the way you should. Sugar intake in the U.S. jumped from minimum levels in the 1800s to an average of 34 teaspoons per day, with ultra-processed items now making up 60% of daily calories. And I don't know if you know it or not, but you know, if you use ketchup out there has as much sugar in it as Pepsi. Okay? Just the regular ketchup off the shelf, it does. It's like when you pour ketchup on your fries, it's like drinking a Pepsi, about the same amount of sugar. Also, modern industrial life has introduced over 85,000 synthetic chemicals into our environment, pesticides, plastics, and more that contaminate our food, water, and even human tissue. They talk about the microplastics that are just in everything. And then only about 24% of U.S. adults meet the federal exercise guidelines, while sedentary work, screen time, and convenience technology, we've talked about that before, have drastically reduced daily physical movements. And it has. Very sedentary, the jobs that we have, the lifestyles that many lead in this nation, very sedentary. And before electricity, people slept around 9 hours a night. Today, artificial light, nighttime tech use, and jam-packed schedules mean fewer hours of rest and disrupted circadian rhythms. And I thought it was interesting looking at all this, pointing there, you know, these secular, the world pointing fingers, people like Dr. McCullough and some of the more alternative in the medical professions, but pointing to these things and saying, you know, it's not just one thing. It's all this tied together, right? It's the ultra-processed foods and the excess to the nth degree, the excess sugars and all these things. And so it's good that they're being pointed out. And if people pay attention to them, that's even better. But it's good that they're being pointed out. So at the end of this article, here was some health hints that they give you in the physical. I put down health hints from the world, but it's in the physical, things that we can and should do, okay? We're supposed to do what we can, right? One, I like this, it said, eat like your ancestors. Opt for whole foods. Minimize seed oils. Cut added sugar to restore a healthier omega-6 to omega-3 balance and stabilize blood sugar. And that takes work. It does. You have to pay attention. You have to read ingredients and pay attention to what you eat. Move more and sit less. I liked this idea, too. Even short movement breaks, resistance training, outdoor activities to support cardiovascular and metabolic health. Get up and move. That's one of the biggest things, is to move. Movement. Reduce toxins. Buy organic when possible. Filter your water. Avoid plastics. Seek out toxin-free household products. Limit EMF exposure. Turn off unnecessary wireless devices at night. Use the wired internet. Keep phones away from your body. We're just not even beginning to find out the issues with Wi-Fi. And we're seeing 5G. We've been talking about that for years. It's here. It's here. You see the 5G towers all over the place. And prioritize sleep. Stick to a regular bedtime. Reduce screen time before bed. Create a dark, cool sleeping environment. So in the physical, those things work. They work. If you can stay away from the screen time, if you could not have your phone on all the time, don't sleep with it under your pillow, right? Eat better. Get up and move. Those things work. They're not the whole solution, but they work. Now, I wasn't expecting this article to go to the scriptures for some scriptural ideas and suggestions and things that work. But these things work as well. Let's take a look at a couple of them. Proverbs. In Proverbs 16, it tells us, gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Wait a minute. You mean words can heal? Well, that's what the scripture says. And so gracious words are. But what do we hear in our land today? What do we hear? It's not gracious words. It's F-bombs here and F-bombs there and curses and, right? Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so, you know, that's something else we have to watch. If we want sweetness to the soul and healing to the bones, we need to have gracious words for those things. And Malachi 3:10, in talking about health and healing. Let's take a look. Bring the whole tithe in the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. And see, that our pastors taught on that as well. And that in itself, there in Malachi, is such an important part of our health today. And one of the reasons we have sickness in the land today is because this scripture as well is not followed. But when it is, the Lord says, test me in this. Well, you can test him all you want, and he's not going to fail the test. It's just that simple. Well, remember our network website, sfawbn.com. Lots of information there. It changes daily, gets updated daily. If you've got, remember the newswire's there. So if you've got current events or things happening that you'd like to share with the remnant, this is the best way to do it. Email them to jason@sfaw.org, and we'll do our best to do that, to get them posted up at the newswire and to get them available for others to see. Because many times we see something will happen in a part of the country, and it gets out at first, and then it's buried. You don't see it anymore. So if you see it, you want to share it with the remnant, you send it to us. You can email jason@sfaw.org. Well, guys, summer is almost here. We've got a couple weeks. The next 91st day is June 18th. Wanted to make a quick reminder of that. We've got a couple more weeks to remind you of that. But the next 91st day is June 18th, and so that's coming up. And Romans, we'll move over to Romans 8:22. This came into my thought process this week, that it says, "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now." The whole creation groans, what, for the revealing of the sons of men. Just like in our own lives, and in the, you know, we're not as healthy and prosperous as we should be as a nation. Well, it's because all creation groans out. Guess what? Again, if you can call it a season, wildfire season. And, you know, we kind of pay attention to that. We've had boys go through and fight that before as they become young men, and we still help out in the local community for this. But I saw this just yesterday. So this is current as of May 31st, yesterday. As of today, 9 large wildfires under full suppression strategies, one under a strategy other than full suppression, across 5 geographic areas all over the country. 27,000 fires have been reported this year so far. Total acreage of over a million acres. You know, you see the numbers there, 1,146,230 acres. This is above the 10-year average of 20,000 fires and about the same acreage, but it's bigger than average. How about that? Bigger than average, because I think that's what we're going to see. I really do. That's what we've told our firefighters, and what we've been doing in training is, you know, expect a bigger season. It's greater than the 10-year average already, and it's real early in it. And, you know, it's not just us. It's wildfire season up in Canada, too. I don't know if you've seen what's going on up in there, but wildfire season in Canada is in full roar. Canadian province of Manitoba on Wednesday declared a state of emergency over fast-growing wildfires. Saskatchewan followed suit on Thursday. Try to say that 3 times fast, huh? They have some words up there. Saskatchewan followed suit on Thursday. Alberta shutting down some of its oil production facilities. And emergency officials have urged thousands of local residents to evacuate as the fire spread throughout central and west Canada. So it's not just here. It's not, but here on this continent. And Canada is getting it as well. If you hit this next picture, Jason, many have seen this smoke coming down from Canada that's hitting about 30 to 40% of the population all through the Midwest, all the way down to Georgia and the Carolinas. And then that's expected to, you can see it there, it's almost like a big hook. And it's expected to just kind of flow right up through the Northeast as well. And then I wanted to share with you, I didn't have a chance to put it together on a slide, but there is a, a huge magnetic storm. If you look into that, a big aurora, the Aurora Borealis, is that how you say it, Jason? Something like that. But expected tonight, magnetic storm, and they're saying that maybe the, you know, what they call them, the northern lights, the aurora, might be visible all the way down to Florida. When you take a look at it, it says a powerful G4 solar storm expected to strike the Earth Sunday night. It'll be so strong the northern lights could be visible on camera all the way down to the Gulf Coast. So things are happening. Things are happening. It's not just moving from spring to summer, but things are happening. But let's take a look. We'll do one more scripture, and it looks like we're out of time this morning. Look, Isaiah 40, we read, he says, he gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I think, at least here, the way it relates to these weather anomalies and what's going on is, you know, we are weak when it comes to those things. We have no might, as individuals, against these huge things that are happening. But when we acknowledge that, we become like Gideon. When we acknowledge it, that it is God that is doing these things. And he gets the acknowledgement, and he gets the praise for it. And there is strength for us in that. So I hope you take that to heart. Well, that's all I had this morning. Well, thanks for joining us. Stay tuned. We've got a timeless pulpit truth that I'm really looking forward to with Pastor Peters, and a brand new message after that. So, again, thanks for being here. God bless.
Let's march on in this blaze of glory. All good things will win, like all heroes in his story. Let's fight on like he fights sin in his blaze of glory. There they are, hardy-hearted. They thought their world would never end, but they'll fall hard when we get started. Let's follow Jesus and cast out sin. Let's march on in his blaze of glory. All good things will win, like all heroes in his story. Let's fight on like he fights sin in his blaze of glory. Not sin nor hurt each other. That would be our worst mistake. Once again, let's follow Jesus. Now the time for his name's sake. Let's march on in his blaze of glory. All good things will like all heroes in his story. Let's fight on like he fights in his blaze of glory. Let's march on in his blaze of glory.